You do not have to turn there, but I will turn to 1 Corinthians 11. That's one of the passages that seem to be beat to death, as I mentioned, growing up. There's nothing wrong with the passage. The problem is there was way more to the passage than they would usually read. It was to get through the communion idea. But I think 1 Corinthians 11 has a lot more meaning after you've been exposed to the book of Revelation, right? It helps you to comprehend it more. I'm going to just have the four men come up that I've talked to here. Pastor Jim's going to go wash his hands. Let me read out of here, 1 Corinthians 11, a little bit more of the context. It starts in verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, Paul says, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. You're not living out what God intended. For first of all, when you come together as an assembly, as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. That's not supposed to be there. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Sometimes trouble brings righteousness to the top, if you will. Chapter 20, therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. You're not doing what God wants, the way God wants you to do it. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. In other words, some people aren't having anything. They had a meal with it. Some people have nothing. They're hungry, and others are stuffed, overindulged. And by the way, that's wrong by itself, but it's showing a disinterest in anybody around you. What? Do you not have houses to eat or drink in? You don't come to church primarily to eat. Right? And we like to eat. That's okay. Some of you just had a cookie or 10. Right? We don't come to church to eat primarily. It's okay to eat. You come to church for other people. And when you push other people out of the way, not necessarily physically, but when you are the primary concern, when you are here, you're missing the entire point of church, and you're certainly missing the entire point of communion. Right? What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? You don't come here to eat or to drink primarily. Take care of that at home. Or do you despise the church or assembly of God and shame those that have nothing? You're to be aware of those around you. Right? Make sure that they get a cookie or a plate or a cup of coffee or even tea if they're so inclined. Right? Or something. You're concerned for them. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you, Paul says. And then he says, let me tell you about where this started. What the way it's supposed to look like. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And this is significant, not just to give us an order of doing this, but he says, you misunderstand the very intent and activity of Jesus. What I received to you, that the Lord Jesus, even on the same night he was betrayed, he was thinking of others, not himself. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is literally for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he's saying, I am giving myself for you. And Paul says, look at, Jesus says we're to be constantly reminded of Jesus' sacrifice for us, ultimately for salvation, yes, but also his humility in serving us and sacrificing himself for salvation. And therefore, you and I are obligated to live in humility toward one another. We're to think of others just like Jesus thought of us and went to the cross. And usually it doesn't take that much. It's letting them go first in line, maybe, right? It's that simple sometimes. He says, take heed, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember who I am, what I've done, why I've done it for, and that you should emulate me. Right? And Paul is saying you're not doing it Jesus' way because Jesus was selfless. And you're being selfish in the way you live around the people of the body, the church. It goes on to say, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in or by means of my blood. The benefits, you will, that it comes from his shedding his blood for us. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, him being the Lamb, right? In the book of Revelation, 28 times, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, till he comes. Jesus is coming back, and this is to be a prompting to be living right because we're saved, because he saved us, and because we have the benefit of that salvation. We're to be living right for one another until he returns. I'm not going to cover the rest of it here because I've explained the whole passage before in detail, but I think Revelation brings it out. We need to remember who Jesus is and what he's done and what his expectations are of us, and that he will return and he will judge our works. We're not saved by our works, but God expects us to glorify him and honor him by our works. And that's what this is intended to remind us of. All of that. Who Jesus is, what he's done, what he expects, and that he's coming again and will hold us accountable for all that we have and all that we do. One of the things that we've shared in 1 Corinthians 17, Pastor Jim's going to hold this up. This is matzah. It's really, you know, Jewish bread that something like they would have eaten. Probably not perfectly square in that day. If square fits in a box, right? But Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 10, 17, Paul says this, and this is part of the picture. He says, we are one bread, one body. As I would preach a different sermon every time with regard to communion, I would go through the book of Corinthians, for example, to get the big picture, and I'm like, oh my word, how come they never taught this? One of the main pictures of Jesus holds up the bread, it's a singular body. And we're just like Jesus' body is one, we are all baptized into, by the way, it's in the next chapter, right after what we just read, into one body. And we're obligated to the body. And we're responsible to the body and responsible for the body. And what we do affects the body. And therefore, we use this first before we break it up to remind us that we are intended to be a unit and a unity. Remember, Paul said there shouldn't be divisiveness, there shouldn't be divisiveness, because we are one body and we're to work things out and we're to live for God together and serve God together and serve one another for God. Pastor Jim's going to break this in half, but he's breaking it up. So we think this is a little more significant, and the way it's intended by Jesus, rather than having the little pre-made little crackers, because the little pre-made cracker doesn't picture the oneness, that we are one bread, one body, right? So we're going to go ahead and hand out the bread, and then we'll return and do the cup. Let me pray. Jesus, we thank you for selflessly giving of yourself for us, Lord, to secure our salvation through the death and resurrection of yourself on the cross. Help us to be selfless as we serve one another as you expect until you come. Thank you for your body given as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Thank you. Let me pray. Father, thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf so that we can have his righteousness put to our account. And Lord, you've given us manifold blessings because Jesus is risen and we are your children through belief in his finished work on the cross. Lord, help us to walk in newness of life. Help us to walk because we do have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Help us to walk not as the world walks. Help us to set our minds on things above, to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Help us not to love the world or the things that are in the world. Help us to live for you, even if it kills us, because you have called us to follow you, to be witnesses to you, to live for you each and every moment of our day, and even to the end of our lives. Thank you for the blood that secured the benefits of salvation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can just set your cups down anywhere that works. We'll pick them up afterward. We're going to sing a song. I remember hearing this, even though it's an old song. I don't know if I heard it the first time. I heard it sung really cool when I was probably at 10, 12 years old, and I was just so amazed by this song. It's written by Charles Wesley. And Can It Be? Let's stand as we sing this as we close today. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Let's sing all four verses. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Thank you that through simply believing in who he is and what he's done, that can count for us. Help us to live for him all day, every day, through the rest of our lives, or until Jesus comes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.